You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Time once again, MLB.com Extras, the Seattle Mariners edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Greg John, joining us out from sunny San Diego, California. The team enjoyed an off day. Let's get right to it, Greg. You guys are racking up quite a tax bill. It's like a long, long trip in California for the kids. You guys are going to owe that state a lot of money.
It's nice, though. They're staying in California. Usually it seems like we hit California and hit Texas and hit the East Coast. I mean, they've done a nice job of one trip in California. We're kind of close hops from Anaheim to San Diego to Oakland and then back home. So it's nice to have a little consolidated California trek. And the weather hasn't been unbelievable. The start's been a little bit overcast in Anaheim, but it's about 90 up in Seattle this week, so kind of ironic. But not a bad day in San Diego, and we'll certainly take it. It's gorgeous down here.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a bad day in San Diego. So it starts with a quick two-gamer there tonight, but let's talk about this team in the weekend. They just finished in Anaheim because, my gosh, a couple of big scares there. And as I understand it, everybody's okay, but on Saturday, you know, it's Robinson Cano taking one right off the dome, and then Felix leaves the game early on Sunday amid concerns that, you know, maybe something was wrong. And it turns out, what, everybody's good, right? Everything's okay.
Yep. About as freaking accident as you can get with Cano. You just like to think you can go sit in the dugout between innings and not have to worry about getting beaned. He took one right off the temple with just when the Angels are playing, just warming up in the infield doing their throws, and the shortstop throws one over Pujols' head and right off Cano's noggin. So it looked pretty serious at the time. I mean, you get hit in the head, not seeing a ball coming, and a pretty crisp throw, and it looked like he might have some issues, and they were checking him out, and of course turned out all right. He passed the concussion test, was back in the lineup the next day. So pretty good scare there. And the Felix on Sunday was just the weather. It was hot. It was about 90 in Anaheim on Sunday. It was the hottest day when we were there and muggy, and he was zipping along on the numerically. He had, you know, six innings of one hitter and had a 1-0 lead, but started cramping up and just get a little dehydrated, and he was up about 96 pitches, and they took him out after that, and then they end up losing in 10 innings. So tough, no decision for him, tough loss for the Mariners, and they're still kind of just seem to be treading water. It's just kind of fighting to try to get some traction right now.
Yeah, well said, and I don't know how else really to explain it. It's kind of a long run of basically frustration, eight games under 500, and you know, at the very beginning, we talked about it. You know, there was an optimism around this team despite a slow start. You know, Lloyd McClendon talked about this, a team destined for greatness. As time passes and you start looking how much sand's left in that hourglass this year, what's the sense? I mean, you still optimistic or starting to get a little concerned?
Well, you have to be concerned. It's so simple, the issue. I mean, they've continued to get good pitching despite, you know, a couple injuries to their rotation there. But when you look, I can give you one stat that'll pretty much lay it out. 25 of their last 31 games, they've scored 3 runs or less. So that's just not a formula to win baseball games. Doesn't matter how good your pitching is. And their pitching's good enough, even with that, to kind of keep them, you know, afloat and kind of about 500 over that stretch, but you don't want to start picking up games, and to do that, they got to start hitting, and they just haven't had it consistently, kind of where they have to have it, and that's the heart of that lineup, and they get a little help elsewhere. So they just haven't clicked them, you know, when they had Cruz going early and nobody else really helping, and now he's cooled off a little bit, and Seager's been pretty steady, but they're kind of waiting for Cano still to get going, they brought in Trumbo, and he really hasn't hit much yet, and just not getting a lot out of some other guys like Ackley and Zunino, and some guys you really came to the year thinking could help, and so there they are. I mean, you like to think they got the talent. You look at those guys, and McClendon keeps saying, hey, you look at all those guys at the back of their baseball cards, pretty good, and they're going to get there. They're going to produce that, but they got to see it. You got to have it on the field, and as you say, that the time is ticking. We're getting towards the All-Star break, and at that point, you start to kind of see where you're at. But they got a nice stretch here. If they can put it together. They're playing good teams. You know, they got to make some hay. They play Oakland four, and then they got the Tigers coming in for three in Seattle, and then the Angels for four more before the break. So they got to make some hay there, I would think, kind of get themselves in position at that All-Star break to kind of see where they're at.
Yeah, well, you know, another story, Greg, has been, Fernando Rodney, not great, hasn't pitched, terribly well, and Carson Smith has stepped in lately. And how about that, a little Wally Pipp kind of situation here. Carson Smith has done a really nice job in that closer role, even though he's, not the closer, and Fernando Rodney isn't really either. I guess maybe there isn't a closer. What is the situation in that bullpen?
Well, it's Smith, closer without, I guess, the official title. As Lloyd says, I have not anointed him the closer, but certainly when the situation comes up and they're going for a save, he's the guy coming in. With the one exception of the other night in Anaheim, which it was interesting, they brought in Carson in the eighth, but it made sense. It was a Trout and Pujols coming to the plate. Smith has pitched extremely well against them in his brief time, and brought him in to face the big guys wanting to keep the lead in the eighth and saying, hey, that's when we got to preserve the lead. Doesn't do any good to have your closer ready in the ninth if you don't have the lead. So they went with Smith in the eighth, came in with Rodney, picked up his first save in about 3 weeks there. But Rodney's pitched pretty well since he got out of that closer situation, and he's kind of working on some things, getting squared away in more of a setup role, and has been thrown better. So Smith is certainly 5-for-5 in save situations, and he's a young kid. He's been very, very impressive since he came up last September, and certainly one of the shining lights this year again. He's just a about 1.45 ERA and been lights out. He doesn't walk many guys. He's got a big slider, heavy slider, sinker combination that's tough for guys to hit, and kind of a weird arm angle. And he's been real good. So I don't see any reason to boo him out. And I think Lloyd's view right now is, hey, let's get this thing. If we get Rodney squared away, and he just seems like lights out, ready to take that job back, then hey, maybe you do it. But for now, like Lloyd says, we got to win ball games. And right now that combination seems to be Smith coming in and closing.
Yeah, Furbush has pitched well. Mark Lowe has been ridiculously good. There's the makings of plenty in that bullpen. You get back, though, to scoring runs and trying to compete offensively. So, we're on the cusp of July, and that's always a big month in the baseball summer. What's your sense? As that month starts to unravel or lay itself out, what do you see this team doing? Are they going to be able to go out and get that piece that will turn the offense around? Is there enough time? Or do they start thinking about retooling for next year?
Well, it's interesting because I think they feel like, and they certainly felt like when they did it, that they went out and did that early, that they made the move for Trumbo, and certainly that was Renzick's saying, hey, we got to help this offense and let's go do it before the July 31st trade deadline. And the move they made in June, which makes perfect sense if that guy produces like you hope. But right now, Trumbo hitting about $1.50 since they picked him up. So they got to get more out of him. And certainly he's another guy with a baseball card says he's going to give you more than that. I've talked to him. He's first to admit that getting traded midseason was kind of a tough situation, just getting reacclimated in a new team and things. And he was traded before in the offseason, said, that was a whole totally different situation. You kind of have the spring and the winter to get your head straight and spring to introduce yourself and get comfortable. And getting thrown in midseason, it was a bit of an adjustment for him, but he said he's feeling more comfortable. And, they got to get him going, get another big bat in that lineup. And really, though, Cano has shown some signs. You see some steps, but it's got to be more consistent. They got to kind of get Cruz back to be in that threat. And you'd think during the hot months, he should be hitting pretty well and keep Seager, pretty steady and doing what he does. You can build on that. It's the same pieces they talked about. You just kind of got to get them all going at the same time and get a little help elsewhere in that lineup. And, the difference between 4 runs a game and 3 runs a game doesn't sound like much, but it can win you a lot of ball games. If you just get another run. That's kind of the formula they said coming in. We got to average 4 runs a game, and if we do that with our pitching staff, we'll be pretty good. So it doesn't sound like a huge tick, but it's a big one. You can make it and just be more consistent, with 4 or 5 runs a game rather than 1 or 2. They can do it. They got guys that can do it. 3-run homer can get you big places. They're 7th in the AL in homers, but they've a huge percentage of their homers are have been solo home runs. If you look at it, I don't have the number in front of me, but it's something like 52 out of 70 something. I mean, it's ridiculous. They just haven't had the guys on base to get what they need out of those home runs, and you know, that's part of it. They just got to get guys on. They got to make hay when they get a chance. So, you know, I guess we'll see how it rolls. They still got 3+ months to do it, and that's a lot of baseball. But like you said, they do have to start seeing it.
Yeah, about 15 points below league average as a team and on base percentage, and that might be it right there, right? I mean, that little tick might be the big difference. Well, there's still time left. That's the good news, Greg, and there's still sunshine in Southern California. Enjoy San Diego and in Oakland, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, as always, Greg Johns, MLB.com Extras, the Seattle Mariners edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.